Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Those two guys need some help.
Yes.
Yeah. Howard's getting old. His mind's getting a little weak, slow.
And I met his wife the other night, and he married a much younger woman.
Yes, and she's beautiful as well.
Yeah.
What happened? He must be rich.
You think?
He must.
He doesn't dress the part.
He must.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
What would you think of an 8-8 Bills season? Didn't bring up Mike's article yesterday. Mike Shope had an article up at WGR550.com talking about the idea of 8-8 this season. And I actually did see, I think it was Connor Orr this morning at SI.com, basically has everybody's record predicted for the year, and he's got the Bills going 6-10, and I think the Jets were going 9-7. So do you have a number in your head this season as we sit a week away from the opening of training camp in your mind?
Of
a record?
That sounds about right.
8-8?
Sure.
About right? Josh Allen, I would assume, plays a little better, and I would expect the defense still plays at a good level. And 8-8, huh? It's not going to work out with my pick the Bills record.
What are you at? 10-6 these
days?
Yeah,
you know what? That's too high.
We got to get you on record soon.
Next week. Opening day at training camp. We don't have to do it before
day
then.
Day before training camp? Day before, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's a Wednesday. Wednesday isn't the day you normally pick the Bills. You know what we'll do? We'll have rookies report, you'll pick. And you'll have veterans report, and you'll pick. Because you never know. Someone might not show up. We don't know there's going to be a holdout.
I'm going to have to take some time this weekend and really seriously sit down and go through the schedule and think this through. This just in. I don't know if you know this. I don't mean to crush you or the fans, the listeners. I don't put a lot of thought into picking the Bills.
Right. It's all gut. Gutalytics.
Gutalytics,
yeah. You trust the process.
I don't ask the smart guys.
You trust your heart.
I trust my gut. I think 10-6 is too high. I just have to figure out exactly whether or not I think they can have a winning record this year, basically, is what it gets down to. I saw the Connor Orr thing, and I thought, whoa, 6-10, that's going to suck. And, you know, assuming that the way he wrote it out was it was a lot about how, you know, Josh Allen is not going to take the next step, so the offense won't be much better. You'll still have a really good defense, which is pretty much where you were last year, and they're going to be 6-10. That would be depressing. That would really be a downer this season. So I just have to figure out what's going to make me feel good in terms of a record. 7-9, 8-8, whatever. I don't know.
Playoffs will make you feel good.
I'm not expecting playoffs.
I've actually told you, without saying a
record,
I'd
be shocked if they made the playoffs. I wouldn't
be shocked.
Okay, yeah, I shouldn't because I said 10-6. I'm not expecting the playoffs. I'm really not.
My cop-out answer for a successful season doesn't come down to record. It just comes down to the last game of the regular season matters.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
That's it.
Right. Yeah, I know.
You give me a home game against the Jets that matters. Do I want to go so far as to say it's a control-your-own-destiny game? Hmm. That I need that? Or can I be a they need to win?
I don't think you have to go that far. You got to have help. If it's a get help weekend, I think you're okay with that, wouldn't you?
I'm okay, but the goal is home game that's winning in.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a home playoff game. I know it's not a home playoff game, but that's a home playoff game. And, you know, I haven't had one of those since I've lived here. And as long as Tom Brady's alive, I think I'll never have one. So if I can get away to, I don't care if it's you're 8-7,
yeah,
you're 9-6, doesn't matter. You're 7-8, but you have a shot to get in somehow because the AFC fell apart.
Oh.
I just want that game to matter. It can be 5-10, 5-11.
As long as it matters,
I'm good with how the season went.
Yeah, I don't know. I 10-10 wins sounds too high. I probably won't do 10 wins next week. I think I would top out at 9-7 if I'm having a good day and I'm on my brand. But in terms of playoffs, I don't expect it. 9-7 would have you in the hunt. Maybe you lose out on a tiebreaker. Who knows? Maybe 9-7 made it a couple years ago. I just don't expect playoffs. I'm thinking that the Bills will finished second, no better than second in the division, and then it's going to get down. If you're 9-7, now we're talking tiebreakers probably. You'll be in the mix with a whole bunch of different teams, and then it's going to come down to divisional tiebreakers, conference tiebreakers, common opponents record, all that stuff. So I'll probably nudge my prediction downward next week when the rookies report. We shall see.
Camp gets you bummed out, huh?
No, no, I think 10 wins is too high. I really do. I just think, you know what it is? We'll talk so much about this when we get to camp. There are still so many things that have to be answered by this offense. So many. And I think why, if you're optimistic, right, and you think, guys, they're going to have a winning record, it's going to be based in two things. One, there's no way the offense can be as bad as it was last year. Two, the defense is still going to be one of the best defenses in the league. And now it has a better offensive unit performing with it. So, guys, that equates a winning record. Schedule's not that bad. You're still in the division. You're behind New England. You're better than Miami. Maybe a split with the Jets. But you look at the AFC teams, the opponents on the schedule, it's not that bad. Your NFC is the East. Okay, you could beat the Giants. You could beat Washington. So I think there are a number of reasons why, you know, you would feel optimistic. But 10 is probably too high because I don't know what Allen's going to do. I don't know what the running backs are going to do. We know they brought in guys on the offensive line. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be really good. They've got really one solid starter they brought in free agency. The other guys are mostly spot starters, although Spain, I think, was the last few years in Tennessee. So there's still so many. The tight end spot, what are you getting out of there? I think the wide receivers will be better, of course, with Beasley and Brown, but what's the quarterback doing? So 10 seems a bit too high. I was probably in a good mood that day. So I'll probably have to nudge it downward. The only question is whether I go down one or two wins. I think, you know, getting to 500 is not a big ask for this year.
Are you preparing to take the preseason pledge?
I always take the preseason pledge, don't I? I try not to get carried
away by what
we
see. I don't remember if you do or not.
I try not to get carried away by what we see, good or bad. I try not to, because you can go both ways.
The next preseason.
You can go to camp, watch a couple guys and go, whoa, he's destined for. Or Josh Allen could have a day where he throws the ball in the hospitality tent. Doesn't mean he's doomed to fail this year. So.
Nathan Peterman won the quarterback competition. Take the preseason pledge.
It feels like that was 5 years ago.
Take the preseason pledge. Coaches should do it too.
Man, we did the who's Dak. We were having the daily stuff on the quarterbacks. That was last year that Nathan Peterman won the quarterback competition.
Mm-hmm.
AJ McCarron. It feels so much longer ago. Yeah, my preseason pledge. Yeah, I think I'm pretty good about that. I know you're more stringent with your pledge.
Mine is basically that nothing happens will matter other than injuries.
Well, then we don't have to pick the Bills during the preseason.
Oh, we're doing it.
But you just told me to take the preseason pledge and it doesn't matter.
We'll find out how loyal you are to that pledge.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. When the games start, I think all eyes will be on the offense. How much it sways my opinion for opening day, it's so hard to gauge because it is preseason football. I think I'm pretty good at not going overboard excited about anybody, nor going in the other direction and say, wow, this is awful. I mean, there are years when we watch the Bills offense in the preseason and they don't get into the end zone. And it doesn't necessarily mean I think they're going 4-12. So I try not to get too carried away with that stuff. I'm looking forward to it. I think there are a lot of things to look forward to at camp. Obviously watching Josh Allen. I was reading a piece Chris Brown had up at BuffaloBills.com. You know, they're doing their camp countdown stuff. And the piece that's up today is, you know, what's Dable's offense going to look like now? I'm interested to see what he does, you know, with the quarterback back, which what we think is going to be a better offensive line, the stable of running backs. He's talking about more tempo from the offense, more personnel groupings, a little more variety, and different things that they were not able to do last season because they had a low level of talent. So there are a lot of things to be excited about going to camp. I'm looking forward to seeing the new pieces and how they all fit in. And then we'll get to camp, and I'll look at you and go, oh, man, we're still a month away from the regular season open. Let's get the real football real soon.
Are you hearing or seeing a lot of Sam Darnold hype?
Nope.
No, me neither.
Nope, I'm not.
Aren't you?
Should I be?
Mayfield,
yes, but not
sure, for sure. He's earned it based on his rookie season. Nobody
talks about the quarterbacks other than Mayfield.
Well, no.
Lamar Jackson hype.
I don't agree with that.
I don't think Jackson hype.
Yes, he's on the front page NFL.com today.
Oh, was he today?
Yes.
I didn't see that today.
What I think in terms of what I'm hearing and seeing, I hear more people say that Darnold is ahead of Allen, but I hear more people hyping Allen over Darnold.
I don't hear a lot of Darnold hype, but I will tell you that as I look at some of the predictions, I've seen plenty of people predict the Jets to be better than the Bills record-wise.
It's generally,
I assume that's a connection to Darnold.
I think most national guys you hear from will talk about how Darnold finished the season stronger or made bigger steps. And, you know, they weren't that far apart really in anything. I think Darnold threw 17 touchdowns maybe. He played most of the season. You know, and he did beat the Bills. Maybe that's representative of how they were supposed to play out, where it was a little better, but Allen's supposed to be the higher upside, and maybe that's why there's a little bit more hype about Allen. He's still got to, you know, prove it, of course. But I don't really hear much Sam Darnold hype at all. For Jackson, sure, I do. For Rosen, I mean, he's just, I don't want to say he's toast, but, man, he's in a spot.
I don't really hear that much about Jackson, honestly. And I think part of it is because of the division he's in, because all the hype in that division is about, when it comes to the young quarterbacks, all that hype is about Mayfield. You know, he's they got a big story about him in ESPN, the magazine. He's all over their website today. I don't really hear a lot about Lamar Jackson. As I said, I think in part because of the division they're in and the fact that the division story is Cleveland. I haven't heard anything about Darnold. What he had 17 touchdowns last year, 13 games, 13 starts, 17 touchdowns, which is better than Josh Allen. But honestly, for Darnold, I think hiring Adam Gase was a bad move for the Jets. I don't know how that impacts Darnold's career and Darnold's development and what he does going forward. I was not impressed with anything he did in Miami, and I don't expect Darnold to like take off because of the coaching change in New York. If anything, Gase might be a negative to the Jets' offense and what they've done in the offseason.
I got a text.
I don't know how to feel about Lamar Jackson. It's funny. I don't.
Probably the exact same you should feel about Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think Lamar Jackson gets a little credit because they end up going to the playoffs, but it's not like he came out and threw the ball all over the place and was lights out great. So Lamar Jackson, I think you throw him in that hat with Josh Allen, with Sam Darnold. That's why I said I don't feel like the hype is there for Lamar Jackson, even though they had a postseason berth last year.
I got a tweet, actually. I want to read this. This is a fun conversation that people might have around the water cooler today. Comes in from, I don't know who. We'll go with Berkey. A. Burke. If you teed off at the Open Championship right now, what do you think you would have on the first hole? The one that Rory got an 8
Me?
On. Taking into account how you're feeling, the course conditions, all the pressure, if I teed off on the first hole at the Open Championship right now, what would I score?
How long is the first hole?
I brought up the hole. I wanted to take a peek.
Yep.
Like, all right, okay. First off, I would go to the tee on a mission to shoot a 7. 7 or under.
Okay.
Because I just want to be able to say
I got to beat Rory.
I'm not shooting for a birdie on this hole. I am shooting for, you know, to get under Rory.
You're looking at this? It's like 20 people stomping around.
Looking for a ball in the rough?
Looking for a ball. This is funny.
I don't know who that is.
This is really hilarious. They got everybody's caddies. They've got sound guys holding the boom mics.
Okay, it's Henrik Stenson. So Henrik Stenson is over in the heather, and maybe they just found his ball, or they're looking for a ball.
But it's so funny. All these guys are just stomping around in the heather.
Trampling down, trying to find the ball.
Oh, they've all circled into one spot.
I think they may have found it. Make sure it's yours. Don't pull a Duval.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay.
First hole.
It's one of the things about golf. If they don't find it, that shouldn't be a penalty.
Do they have a time limit of how long they look?
I think they do.
Because you can't back up play forever.
And again, if you don't find it,
it's a penalty. Yeah.
This is my own little thing. It shouldn't be a penalty. Everybody knows it's there.
I think they found it, but
if you don't find it, it's the people's fault. It's not the ball's fault.
You got a lot of eyes looking for that ball.
Anyway, the first hole is a 421-yard par 4.
Okay.
So to answer the question, what would I get? I'd get a 6. I could come out of there with double bogey.
Good for you. How long's your drive, you think? You get a couple hundred?
It's 421, which is tough because I'm going to want it. If I'm playing to not get an 8, I want to hit an iron off the tee.
Oh, so you're playing it safer than you normally would.
But the problem is, if it's 421, I'm not getting far enough with an iron. I'm not sure where the fairway starts. I think I can get to it.
There's no picture of it online you can find?
It is, but I don't know the distance to the start of the fairway.
Gotcha.
The start of the fairway is, you know, 280,
yep.
Which it probably isn't. If it's 220, I'm probably okay. It's going to be close with an iron. I can get a 6.
Don't ask me because I played golf.
I played Sawgrass.
You can have this topic.
I played Sawgrass the week after the tournament, and I parred the first hole. You know, like.
Did you immediately look and see who bogeyed the first hole on tour and say, hey?
I didn't exactly play it from the tips. But still, that does not
sound
important.
Well, obviously you're playing from where the
guys I mean, it's listed at 421. I can get a six.
You think?
Yeah.
Any bunkers? Any issues?
There's
a
bunker on
there.
There's fairway bunkers on the left and the right. A couple of green sides. I'm not even going to reach those. The fairway bunkers for these guys are like 300 yards out. I got nothing to worry about.
On your second shot.
Second shot, I'll be going at the green or just short of it.
How tight's the fairway? You got an issue with Heather? You got some rough stuff on either side?
I don't know who she is.
Well, she's very nice, actually.
Rory went OB, so, I mean, there is out of bounds on one side of the hole. But,
Rory just left a putt short.
An eight. Not a good start.
Has he recovered? I didn't see his score. Let me scroll down the leaderboard and see if he's... Last time I checked, he was still at four over.
Do you have a favorite golfer right now?
Not really. No. You know, I'm good with a good story. I love watching Tiger. I always have, always will. But you know who I enjoyed watching? Spieth. But apparently his game has just completely fallen apart. Like, he's having a real bad year. To answer your question, I'm more into give me a good story. Like, to me, Koepka, now, I didn't really know much about Brooks Koepka, quite honestly. But you talk about a guy who's got a chance to make golf history. Great. I'm in on that story. No one's ever finished first or second in all four majors in the same year. I'm in for a good story. A guy who's really good, guy who's fun to watch, you know, whatever. Give me the storyline and I'll root for him. I don't really have outside of Tiger. I always love Tiger in contention.
I like watching Koepka. I'm trying to think if there's anybody I don't like right now. I used to hate Lee Westwood.
I don't think there's anybody I would have other than something Ryder Cup related.
Right. Yeah. That's where Westwood came from. Yeah, Colin Montgomery, I used to hate him.
Yep. If anybody would have trashed the United States in Ryder Cup play and said bad things about us, I suppose I'd probably carry the grudge.
I kind of feel like I don't like Darren Clark. I don't really. It's probably a Ryder Cup thing.
Wasn't he a former Ryder Cup captain
maybe,
or something?
Yeah, there's not anybody I really dislike.
Boy, I'm just scrolling down the leaderboard. Whatever happened to Bubba Watson? He's playing. Where is he at? Even par, one over? I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, tee times, they don't have tee times for Sunday, do they? Actually, they might have them online. You were talking about how it might be.
I like this better, by the way. When they're ahead of us in time-wise, the U.S. Open really threw me off. The nighttime golf, the later starts, the Sunday night golf, it really threw me off. If I had to choose one or the other outside of our time zone, I like the Open. I like when they play over in England, Northern Ireland in this case. And, you know, Thursday, Friday, we come in and, shoot, by the time we get on the air, a couple groups have already finished typically. But I like the fact that you can wake up Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and you don't have to wait long to see the leaders. You know, golf, yes, but the leader group too. You know, the U.S. Open leader group on Sunday would have teed off at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't remember, 5 o'clock. Throws off my whole schedule. Throws off my whole weekend. I love earlier tournaments, earlier golf.
I'm doing a lot of work here. Finding out what time sunset is. Okay, so they're
sunset in Northern Ireland.
They're 5 hours ahead of us.
Yeah. Yep.
So let's do some math here and try and let's do an educated guess on what time the final round, pairing is going.
Okay, so their sunset. Ours is around 8-something, right?
They're 5 hours ahead of us.
Yeah.
Their sunset is at 9:54 p.m.
Oh, my. 10 o'clock.
So that's 4:54 here.
Oof. Okay.
So they're going to be done well before 4:54 our time.
Right.
So they want to be done at, let's say, 3:54 our time.
4 o'clock.
So 4-hour round. The leaders go off at 10:17 a.m.
That would be after 3 o'clock their time, 3:17 their time. Yeah, I guess that could be.
That's about right.
Lead group goes off around 2:30, 3 o'clock here, right, in the east?
Yep.
So, okay. So we're so a little mid-morning golf for the leader group. Yeah, I'm okay with that as opposed to the West Coast U.S. Open times. I'm fine with that. Hey, don't forget to catch Tee to Green Saturday morning. We had Brian Colesfield on with us a little bit earlier this morning talking about the Open Championship, British Open, whatever you prefer to call it. They'll have a special two-hour show coming up on Saturday from 7 until 9 o'clock. 803-0550 to join us. What are we doing this morning? Well, we were kind of having some fun with the nightcap topic last night. One player you could bring back from Bills history to play for the current Bills. One player you could bring back from Sabres history, play for the current Sabres. And it led to a discussion about whether it's a slam dunk that it's Kelly and Hasek. And I said I would take Kelly and Perreault or Kelly and LaFontaine. No, I wouldn't take Hasek. So that's been the big discussion on Twitter this morning. I'm getting crushed in the Twitter poll, but sorry, I wouldn't take Hasek. Still, I love the guy. Never see another goalie like him. I just wouldn't take him as my first choice coming back with the Sabres. So you can join us on that. Anything else you mind, let us know. Hey, don't forget, speaking of golf, I couldn't guarantee a non-8 on the first hole, apparently, at Batavia Country Club, but Jeremy will do everybody proud.
I bet somebody that is in this foursome, if they win, one of them bags an 8.
How many have you had so far that you've gone out and done?
In my life?
Friday foursome. Yeah.
We've done 3.
Have you been the best golfer in the groups?
Once, yes.
Okay.
Once? Once, yes. Once, the worst golfer.
Really?
I played well, too.
That must have been a hell of a group you were in.
When I played well, I was the worst golfer. When I played horribly, I was the best golfer.
Oh, so that was my group you were in when you played horribly and you were the best golfer. Well, that must have been a great group to golf with if you had. Anyway, noon today is the deadline for the latest Friday Golf Foursome, your chance to win a round of golf with Jeremy and two of your friends out at Batavia Country Club. You get 18 holes of golf. You get lunch. You get a cart for use during the play. You also will get the Michelob Ultra prize pack, which includes the Michelob Ultra divot tool, the golf towel, the Under Armour golf hat, and a six-pack cooler. All you need to do is register for your chance to win. But again, the deadline is noon today. We're going to pick a winner shortly after that. So really make sure you go to register on the contest page at WGR550.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It will still be pretty warm and very humid on Sunday. Not quite as bad as Friday and Saturday, but still well into the 80s with high humidity Sunday. And then the cold front comes through Sunday night, and that's going to offer plenty of relief as we get into early next week. We should have highs in the 70s for several days, Monday through the middle of next week. So we have a 2 to 3 day heat wave on the way.
That is John Hitchcock from the National Weather Service on with our sister station WBEN.
He explained why humidity feels the way that it does.
Science.
Yeah.
Cash me out.
Why is it hotter when it's humider?
Yeah, but that's the combination this weekend is not only actual heat, like the temperature, yeah, but the humidity will be very high, too. So they're talking heat index near 100.
I hope I got this
maybe
right.
Maybe even 110.
Yeah, I was listening on the drive-in, so, okay, you know, a little groggy.
Humidity.
Maybe.
Got it.
He said basically something to the effect of, and I'm sure a texter will either correct this or hopefully add to it, the humidity prevents your body's ability for the sweat to come off of your body.
Okay.
Like, you still sweat.
Yeah.
But it kind of stays.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't wick. Right? We like wicking. Wick. We like to wick sweat.
Okay.
And when it's humid, it doesn't wick.
Gotcha. Sure, fine. I mean, I'm not going to doubt you.
I've kind of added in pieces of, but he said it was because of humidity's ability to keep your sweat from going away the way it's supposed to be.
They're talking about temperature around 90 tomorrow and Saturday. But with the humidity, with the heat index, maybe 100, maybe over 100. Our sister station, WBEN.com, if you want to check it out. If you need a cooling center, you know, if there are people out there who need a place to stay and don't want to, you know, homeless people for sure. But if there are cooling centers going to be open this weekend, everybody, you know, they're telling you pools, splash pads, hopefully have air conditioning. You know, if you have elderly neighbors that don't have air conditioning, make sure they're okay. Check on them. So we're talking oppressive heat for the weekend, and all the information's available with the cooling centers, a list of them. You'll find that at WBEN.com. On our Western Hotline, let's continue our training camp previews for Bills opponents. We're working our way to Tennessee, and we're going to go and chat with Jim Wyatt, who covers the Titans for the Tennessean, and he is joining us right now on WTR. Jim, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having me. Hope you guys are doing well.
Doing well. Thank you very much for asking. I wanted to ask you first, Jim, about expectations, okay? So the Titans have been 9-7 three straight years, made the playoffs a couple years ago. What overall are the expectations of where the team is possibly headed in 2019?
Well, I think they're a lot higher than in Nashville than they're going to be across the country. Because I look at some of the prognostications, and I see the Titans are picked fourth in the division. And it's an improved division. I mean, it used to be the AFC South. You know, was the butt of a lot of jokes, and now I look at it, and I think it's one of the strongest divisions in the NFL. When I look at this team, I mean, you mentioned the team's won 9 games 3 years in a row, but wants to take it to another level. And I think fan base, and I think certainly the team and the coaching staff feels like this team is capable of doing it. But you guys know how the league works. I mean, it's all about people ask me what I think their team's going to do, and I have a window where it could win 6 to 7 games to 10 or 11 games. I mean, you got to win close games. You can't have the inconsistency that this team had last season. And you've got to stay healthy, and how teams handle those parts of the game will determine how things are going to be, you know, when January starts.
Yeah, I think, Jim, it's interesting. I was going to say, where do the Titans fit in the division? And you have the Colts, who were such a big success story last year. You have Houston, who's still a factor if they can keep Deshaun Watson healthy. And then you have the Jags, who maybe they're not where they were defensively a couple of years ago, but they're still good. They bring in Nick Foles, so I'm going to feel they feel they upgraded a lot at quarterback. It makes you wonder, where does Tennessee fit in that mix, in that division?
Well, I think it can contend, sometimes, and we talk about prognostication. I remember this time last year, I think everybody had Jacksonville as the Super Bowl pick in the AFC after coming off the game when they should have beat New England in the AFC Championship game, and then they finished as the last place team. I think the Titans feel like they can compete at the top and win the division, but to do that, you know, you're going to have to figure out a way to beat Andrew Luck and the Colts, and that's something the Titans have never done. I mean, they've never won a game against Andrew Luck. They faced him in the second week of the season, and you also got to figure out a way to topple, you know, the Texans, who have certainly had their hold on this division. Not that Jacksonville's a pushover. I expect Jacksonville to be much improved. So if you don't play well and you don't win some of these division games, these close games, I mean, it's going to, you know, you're going to be sitting at the bottom looking up. But I think the Titans feel like they can be a contender at the top.
Jim, Marcus Mariota, year 5. What's the general consensus on him and how things have gone through the first 4 years? How are people – I know, you know, they go out and bring in Ryan Tannehill as the backup, but how do people feel about Mariota?
Well, I think I think the majority of the people are in his corner and like him and still believe he can be this team's franchise quarterback. There's certainly a fraction of the fan base that it's, you know, getting louder that feels like this could be the end for him, and they feel like he needs to step it up. And he only threw 11 touchdown passes last year, and he hasn't been available in too many games, especially including the season finale last year, which was for a spot in the playoffs. So I feel like personally, I mean, he's in a position to be successful because he's got the best group of playmakers he's had since he's been here. I mean, Delanie Walker's going to be back. He missed the entire year last year after suffering an ankle injury in week one. Corey Davis should be even better in year 3. They signed Adam Humphries, one of the top slot receivers in free agency. They go out and get Humphries. They go out and get A.J. Brown in the second round of the draft, who certainly can make an impact. And they've got some other guys who I think are developing nicely. So signed Roger Saffold in free agency to help upgrade the offensive line. So he has some pieces around him. that can make him successful, but he's got to stay healthy and he's got to be smart. I mean, he's put some weight on this offseason, probably about 10, 12 pounds that he thinks will make him sturdier and more confident, but still, he's got to protect himself, and they got to protect him a lot better than what's happened around here.
You brought up the additions at the wide receiver spot for sure, and it sounds like they've got a pretty deep group now. When you look at what you think will be the strengths of the Titans, what do you think they will do best this season, what would you say those would be?
I think receiver could very well end up being a strength. I mean, I would like to say offensive line, but there's just too many question marks going into camp about how that's going to shake out. I mean, the left side of the line is set. I mean, you got Ben Jones at center. You can have Saffold, as I mentioned. You got Taylor on the other side, but they've got competitions at right guard and right tackle. So a little bit of a question mark on the offensive line. I think receivers cut good. I think running back with Derrick Henry coming back and coming off this strong finish here with Deion Lewis, I think that's a good group. On I think the defense coming off a year when it finished third in the league in scoring has a potential to be really good. But if you've got a question mark on that side, while the secondary is the strength, the pass rush is the question mark. And Cameron Wake was signed to help with that, but they've got a lot of young guys behind him that are going to need to step up and play well, including Harold Landry from Boston College, a second-round pick last year.
On the defense, Jeffrey Simmons, what's his status right now health-wise? I forgot where we last left the torn ACL with him.
Well, it's going to be a while. I mean, I think, you know, people are excited to get him at number 19 and wish he would be healthy right now. But the reality is, if he's healthy right now, he wouldn't have been around at number 19. He'd have been picked early. So the team's going to have to be patient with him. He posted something on social media a couple of weeks ago of him running, which is a first because he wasn't running in the middle of June. I should say probably jogging. But those ACLs take a long time. He suffered that injury in February. You know, it's not going to completely shock me if he doesn't play at all in 2019, because I think they're going to be really careful with him because they know this has always been about his future and not about trying to get him to play two or three games in 2019. If he recovers and puts himself in a position where they feel good about him playing at the end of the season, yeah, it could happen, but they're not going to rush it.
Jim, last thing for you, actually, is a Bills question. Quinton Spain, one of the many free agent signings up here in the offseason. He's in the competition to be a starter this season. What did you think of him when he was down there?
Well, he's strong and a very he's kind of a no-nonsense guy. I like Quinton. You know, he can be a little bit of a character to him. He's a guy that, you know, you'll find that a lot of offensive linemen will gravitate to. He was really tight this group here in Nashville, and I think he'll do a good job. I mean, he's a strong guy who's got some athleticism too, and I know he's going to be playing with something to prove.
Jim Wyatt with a preview on the Tennessee Titans, one of the Bills' opponents this season. Jim, thanks for coming on with us this morning. Appreciate it, and enjoy what's left of your summer break.
Appreciate it. Have a good day in Buffalo. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jim Wyatt on our West Her Hotline joining us. That will be an interesting race to watch in the AFC South, with all four teams thinking they've got a shot. Colts being probably the favorite coming off the run they had last year with Frank Reich and Andrew Luck. Extendo Sports coming up. Pigs on a highway.
Yeah. I saw pigs on a highway. While you're sending in your punny headlines for several pigs roaming Kentucky Interstate after a semi overturns. While you're sending those to us, I'll be presenting you the stat of the day next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Quick update from the Open. Your leader is Shane Lowry. Did I get that right? Actually, is it Shane? I forgot his first name.
Shane.
Okay. He's at 4 under. He's
Shane.
Done for the day. Shane, brother Shane.
Shane. I'm making myself laugh. What is Shane.
That? What is this?
Get the bell. Ding, ding, ding. Shane. Do people live? I got a really good friend named Shane. He lives in Massachusetts, though, so I don't. Shane.
Shane.
What is this from? I'm completely Shane. Lost at the reference. Shane. Brayton's got it.
Shane.
What is Lowry. This from?
Shane. Lowry. Shane. Lowry.
Are you making me crazy? What is it about?
Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Oh, man.
So Shane Lowry's your leader. Other notables. Jordan Spieth's off to a good start. 3 under through 5.
Shane. Spieth.
Brooks Koepka's 2 under through 6.
Not as good, but. Shane. Woods.
And Rory McIlroy's 3 over through 15. Mickelson shot a 5 over for the day. And David Duvall's at 19 over par. He did have a 13 on
now,
one.
Now the Shane bell really works. Shane.
David Duvall.
And it's for you, David. If you shoot 19 over, this woman should come to your event and follow you around.
19 over.
Shane. Yeah.
It's not good. Shane. I'm going to say he's not making the cut.
I don't think so. All right. We've got a stat of the day. And then we got pig headlines. Jim sent me a stat of the day. Thank you to Jim for sending this in. And thank you for his donation at the 11-day Power Play. I recognize his name as one that donated during our fundraising events. He pieced together a stat. According to the ATP and Wikipedia, he worked together. In 2 weeks, Roger Federer will pass Tiger Woods for most consecutive weeks in the top 10 in their respective sports.
Wow.
Tiger's streak was 874 weeks. Federer is at 873.
That's impressive.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, and he still looked really good when he lost the Wimbledon final.
I mean, Jim did that work. I'm giving him that credit.
That's very good.
I'm going to read that on the air. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to check it if it's real. I trust him.
Doesn't appear that Mr. Federer is slipping anytime soon.
Shane. Sorry. Okay, let's go to the pig headlines. So, the pig headlines. The story is, where did it go? That in Kentucky, a bunch of pigs got on the road. Swine, whatever. Several pigs roaming the Kentucky interstate after a semi overturns. It's near Louisville. Let's see. We'll get you some details on this to help you get more headlines in with us. Here, this I-65. 110 pigs died in the incident.
Oh,
what's our rule?
I didn't realize that.
What's our rule on that?
No fatalities. Is it just humans? Now I don't know. We have to do this because Joe DiBiase came up with a good one.
All right.
There's a pork in the road. Watch out for the pork in the road.
Pigs blanket the highway. Traffic stymied.
Pigs hog the highway.
Some more texts in.
Tim didn't want to take part in this. He said, he tweeted, "No, Howard, you're baking me crazy this morning." By the way, credit to Thurman Thomas's wife, Patty. She's the one who tweeted this out and said something. I believe it was hogging the road. Truck hog the road is a good one.
Highway to ham.
I got, a boring commute, B-O-A-R-I-N-G.
Ready, ready? I never saw such a backup on the highway.
Okay, since you went with the corny route, I'm going with drivers swining about traffic.
The corny route?
Drivers
isn't that
whining.
What this is?
Drivers whining. Drivers swining about traffic.
This is a very,
How about that?
This is a very serious
Shane. I don't even watch the show, and this is going to be in my head the rest of the day.
If that was as funny to one other person as it was to me.
You're going to laugh about it the rest
of
the
day. I just want more athletes to be named Shane now, so we can just keep doing that.
Power rank Shanes.
Can we already say pigs in a blanket?
Semi comes to a squealing halt on interstate.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I will refrain from the Mitch McConnell tweets that I'm getting involving a story in Kentucky. Wouldn't want to start.
More of a turtle guy.
Oh, okay.
He looks more like a turtle.
Not,
I just mean he actually looks kind of like a turtle.
I know, but there was a. Thank you. Yes, this would be the old John Stewart routine on The Daily Show when he used to make fun of Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. Was there a pig thing in there? Because I'm pretty sure it was a turtle.
No, not. I'm saying the tweet is using a swine reference, but it gets into politics, and I just assume not go down that road.
Gotcha. So, I feel like we're missing some good ones.
Another pork barrel project we don't need.
Traffic's baking me crazy. Not much credit for I never saw such a backup.
Actually, I missed that one. Try that again.
I never saw such a backup
on
the highway.
That's outstanding. I love that. And actually, it is. That's where I live. You know me. Cornier, better. I did like Joe's pork in the road.
Pork in the road.
That's really good.
There are a million kinds of What else? What other meats come from pigs? Lots of them.
Bacon, sausage,
ham.
Ham, right? Ham. Ham. I hate
Dad,
being on
all
the
those
spot.
Meats come from the same animal. Yes, Lisa. A wondrous, magical animal.
Simpsons?
Yep.
Okay.
2-minute warning.
Donuts.
Meats from pig. I'm Googling this to find all the different kinds. All right. I hope you're ready for the run of puns that are going to come as a result of this because I've got a diagram now.
Is that many meats that come from a pig?
Boston style butt, blade pork steaks, lard, loin. Come on, about
pork loin.
Loin.
You're sure pork loin. Jeez.
Let's get a loin pun in there. Loin.
Driver crossed the loin.
Okay. You know, I mean, if you veered off into the other side of traffic, you know, across the loin. Loin.
Drivers had to pull off onto the shoulder. Pork shoulder.
Pork shoulder? Does that count? Yeah.
No.
All right. I'll let it go. It's the summer.
This is kneeling out the clock here on the show. Right?
This is the fourth preseason game.
Steps to the line, puts a knee to the turf.
Play clock's running down. 10. Show. I'm waiting for the snap. Kyle tweeted in, boring traffic, B-O-A-R, turns sour, S-O-W-E-R. That's effort. That's good. I like it, Kyle. Took a little effort.
Drivers went ham because of the traffic.
Patrick, another swine bites the dust. Drivers went ham?
Yep.
Okay. On that note, thanks. You always love headlines. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. Have yourself a marvelous day, everybody.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.